So as we move into the scripture, we've been talking a lot about the body of Christ. It's a wonderful analogy. It's familiar. It speaks volumes. We've been looking at different aspects of that. Today is particularly appropriate, and I want to let you know that I picked this passage long before the events of last Saturday, but it's so powerful and perfect in its beauty. And so I invite you to hear again a perspective on how we are Christ's body connected to one another. Are you reading today, Larry? Good. Come on down then, Larry. I just saw you. Did you know you were reading? Okay, good.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verses 12 through 18. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Well, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body was hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Larry. So this passage has spoken to me greatly this week because the image of a body now holds a different image for me, a different weight. Our body was wounded last Saturday when a gunman walked into a synagogue and opened fire, killing 11 people. 11 people that had gathered to celebrate Shabbat Shalom, that special peace of the Sabbath that comes when they come together to join with God in worship and in rest, and that peace was broken. And the people that he killed were the very people that make up the best of any house of worship. They were the people that were standing by the door to hand out bulletins. They were the people that were there first to make sure that the doors were unlocked and the lights were on and everything was set and ready for worship. And I want you to know that while I do not know the people in that house of worship, I have had those people in every church that I have been privileged to serve. Oh, they have different names. There's Donna and Bill and Jim and Helen and David and Roger and Max and Earl and Beverly and so many others. That's even before we get to the people in this church who I could start naming, except that many of them are in the room and would not like to hear me say their names out loud. But there are people who make churches, who make houses of worship, houses of worship. These are the people who have taught my children in Sunday school, for which I am greatly thankful. These are the people that week after week made sure that there would be communion elements ready. These were the people that fixed things in churches that I thought were unfixable. These were people that would take the pastor's phone call when she called with yet another problem and then would still take her phone call again the next time she called too. These are people who truly made the body of Christ into a functioning, worshiping community. I have been blessed to know and love them in many places, and so have you. So have you. And that was the part of our body that was wounded on Saturday, the people that we remember today. We are surrounded today, we proclaim, by saints. And what these saints teach us by their sainthood is that they are not only of the far-off kingdom of God, but that they are here and now right with us, among us, offering us in our daily living hope. And we need hope. These are tough times. Last week, a synagogue experienced such violence. The week before, letter bombs were sent out to various people. This year alone, 174 people have been murdered in Kansas City, unless something happened last night that I don't have the latest details from. Of those 174, four of them were children murdered in Kansas City this year. In this year, 11 U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq. In this year, 34 children have been shot and killed at school. Add to that the reality that whenever you turn on the TV or open your computer or whatever way that you find your social media, you are barraged by campaign ads that, although we know people want to lift up ideals, we see negativity in that too. And so it's tough to pray for your beloved country when you see so much hate and so much fear around, and yet we continue to pray for our beloved country. As the traditional words that we speak at gravesides go, in the midst of life we are in death, from whom shall we seek our help? But the good news in the midst of this bad news is that the bad news is not and never will be the final word. That the saints surround us, and partly to remind us that love is here with us, and love will always have the final word. Hope will always have the final word. No matter what happens today or tomorrow, hope will always, always be there and always be ahead of us. The goodness of the Lord is found not only in the kingdom of heaven, but in this world now. As the psalmist said, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and it is true that we do. And we have glimpsed the goodness of the Lord through the saints that surround us. So today we have named and told 17 saints from our own faith community, and they gave us glimpses of the goodness of the Lord. Many of the candles that are lit that represent real people, real names. Many of those people were beloved wives and husbands, mothers and fathers, daughters and sons. Some of them became parents to children that were not their own, that came to them via marriage, and yet they became fully and present parents to them. Many of the people that we have named spent hours shivering at the sidelines of their children's athletic events, or going on scout campouts, or going on boundary water trips. You see before you people that were sports fans or craftsmen or had strong senses of humor. There are those that excelled at their work, and there were those that nurtured and loved their families fiercely. There were so many ways that these saints provided light, provided hope, provided healing to our world. Let me name just a few of them. One of them lived through the darkest days of the Depression in the Ozarks of Missouri, hungry every day of her life until she got to nursing school and found her first school cafeteria, the first time that she was able to eat her fill. And she went on from there to live a life of service and giving. Another was a salesman, a really good salesman. But what he was really good at was people, because he cared about them and loved them and nurtured them both professionally and also his family. One was an educator, groomed by a school superintendent to break the gender barrier in the school district in our community. One could read people so well that the police called her their unofficial detective. One became a bride to a returning World War II soldier, which may not sound that surprising, except this soldier said that he had spent 4 years in the Army, was determined to have 2 years of absolute freedom, not attached to anything or anyone, and he met her the day he got off the boat, and he married her shortly thereafter. One of these was in the blessed role of church secretary for our congregation. And what an amazing gift to this church that she was. There are many other stories. We could go on, and we could name all 17 of those people, but what I want you to know is that the stories from these people, the stories from people that you're naming in your hearts today, they give us hope. Because whenever the events of the world around us threaten to overwhelm, we can say without doubt that we have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living through these saints and others that God has given us in our lives. We have hope because of them. There's a poem I'd like to share with you called Ordinary Saints. It says, "The ordinary saints, the ones we know, are too familiar family and friends. When shall we see them? Who can truly show, while still rough-hewn, the God who shapes our ends? Who will unveil the presence, glimpse the gold that is and always was our common ground, stretch out a finger, feel along the fold to find the flaw, to touch and search that wound from which the light we never noticed fell into our lives? Remember how we turned to look at them and they looked back? That full-eyed love unselfed us, and we turned around, unready for the wrench and reach of grace. But one day, we will see them face to face." What I want to say to you today, what I need to say to you today, is that we are all part of this body of Christ, and we are all saints, every one of us. And the world desperately needs the light that God would shine through us. The world needs our light, our love, our laughter, our hope. The world needs us in our workplaces and in our homes and in our communities and in our churches and even at our ballot boxes, because wherever humans are found, that is where we are needed. That's where the saints of God are needed so desperately. So go forth, you saints of God, to shine the light of Christ in a world that needs it. Be people of blessing and peace as the saints that came before you have been, and the saints that are beside you are, and the saints who are yet to come will be. Go forth as the body of Christ, O saints of God, to live out the light that you have received, a light that will shine in this darkness now and forever. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I give you thanks for every saint that is in this room. I give you thanks for the 17 whom we have named aloud. And I give you thanks for all of those who have gone before us and enabled us to become who we are. Use us, oh God, that the world may be aglow with the light of your saints. Amen.